to another episode of the Critmedic Podcast. I'm your host, Dominic Walenzak. Boy, I really have been good at keeping up with doing all these podcasts of late. I guess you could say that I'm a little bit allergic to work. How many people have heard or made this lame joke in the past? I know I have. Over the years, I've heard patients make all sorts of silly jokes and answers. I'm allergic to women, I'm allergic to my ex, which I would argue is technically an adverse effect, not truly an immune-mediated allergic reaction. But what about I'm allergic to work? How many people have heard this one? Is there actually such a thing as being allergic to work? Now, most people probably say, no, that's a silly answer. But what if I told you that might not be the case? Let's start off with a scenario. You picked up a sweet gig pulling a standby at a local 5K run, watching people run from the air-conditioned comfort of your ambulance. Perhaps you're tagging along at the end of the racers, like a vulture circling the very last runner. You get the inevitable call that a runner has collapsed 3/4 of the way through the race. You're probably thinking exhaustion, heat stroke, MI, electrolyte imbalance. We've all been there before. In this case, you arrive to find a 24-year-old female lying on the side of the track against a concrete barrier. She's conscious, but a little bit lethargic. She's complaining of sudden-onset difficulty breathing during the run that worsened. Now she feels like her throat is closing off and she feels like she can't breathe. Only medical history is an amalgam-based dental filling about 2 months ago. Only medications include oral birth control pills and an NSAID last night and this morning due to some soreness from some pre-race workout and training. On physical exam, you note her skin is flush with some itching. Your expiratory wheezing on auscultation. Vital signs are heart rate 137, blood pressure 80 over 50, pulse ox 90%. She denies any allergies, denies any new foods or medications. Last her intake was corn on the cob at the pre-race barbecue along with chili. That's chili with beans for you Texans in the audience. No possibility of pregnancy, last menstrual period is, well, now. No new known exposures, no new clothing, no new laundry detergent, no insect bites or stings. In short, she's had no allergen exposure. What's going on? Is this asthma, heat stroke, or some sort of allergic reaction? If so, how can there be an anaphylactic or anaphylactoid reaction when she hasn't been exposed to anything? Well, as it so turns out, this patient is allergic to work. Or, well, exercise-induced anaphylaxis, to be precise. So what is exercise-induced anaphylaxis? Well, we don't really know exactly. However, here's what we do know about it. We've checked the labs and found during these episodes there are elevated levels of serum histamine and tryptase. We've biopsied some of these hives and looked at them under a microscope, where we find cutaneous mast cell degranulation and release of the mediators. Physiologically, these patients are having all the manifestations of an anaphylactic reaction. The only difference is in classic anaphylaxis, mast cell degranulation is triggered by IgE antibodies, which appears not to be the case in exercise-induced anaphylaxis. Current theories include possibly increased gut permeability during exercise. This makes sense, particularly with a subset of food-dependent exercise-induced anaphylaxis, where you're not allergic to exercise or food alone. But when you put them together, boom, food-dependent exercise-induced anaphylaxis. A relevant cofactor also includes exposure to heat or cold. So your mother's advice of not swimming in a pool an hour after eating is accidentally correct in this case. Who knew? This theory is further supported by the idea that there is a redistribution of blood flow from the gut to the skeletal muscles and skin during exercise, which produces a different sort of reaction than a mast cell reaction in the GI tract, as more systemic and not localized. Some believe the increased gut permeability allows endogenous toxins and allergens through the epithelial membrane, where they are thereby distributed to the mast cells in the skin and skeletal muscles, resulting in a different phenotype of reaction than exposure on the opposite end of the epithelial membrane alone. NSAIDs, in particular, can result in epithelial barrier dysfunction by altering the modulation of the tight junctions that may allow for the absorption of larger molecules. Another theory, particularly with non-food-dependent exercise-induced anaphylaxis, is that exercise induces changes in plasma osmolarity. This transient hyperosmolarity causes basophils to release histamine. This was found to be the case in cells from patients with exercise-induced anaphylaxis, but not with the food-dependent subset. It was suggested that there might be a separate mechanism at play. This was demonstrated in vitro and is believed that such changes may be tough to develop in actual in vivo situations. Other theories suggest that the combination of osmolarity changes, pH changes, and lactic acid increases result in the cutaneous mast cells being in a state more susceptible to degranulation from mild impact trauma or vibration, resulting in a systemic cascade reaction. But the world experts are still very much in debate on exactly the genesis of exercise-induced anaphylaxis. What the data does show is that exercise-induced anaphylaxis and food-dependent exercise-induced anaphylaxis happens in about 0.1% of the population. Of 76,000 junior high school students in Japan, they found that 24 had exercise-induced anaphylaxis and 13 had food-dependent exercise-induced anaphylaxis. This can occur at any age from 4 to 74, but is most common in the second and third decades of life. It occurs at any level of exercise, from light exertion to performance athletes, and it may not manifest consistently at the same level of exercise. Most commonly, though, this reaction is associated with running or jogging, but has been noted to occur even with light yard work. NSAID use before or with exercise has been noted to be a cofactor as well. Menstruation, exposure to heat or cold, ingestion of wheat, corn, beef, pork, beans, alcohol, or having amalgam-containing dental fillings are other known cofactors. Most instances start within 30 minutes of the start of exertion. In any case, the treatment for exercise-induced anaphylaxis is no different than any other anaphylaxis. Epi, Benadryl, steroids, even if someone assumed that the patient was exposed to an external allergen, they would still get the treatment right. This condition may be a bit of a unicorn, but we don't want to miss the unicorn because we think it's just a horse with a cutaneous horn. Just keep this in the back of your mind next time you have a case presentation similar to this. Is it just anaphylaxis? Or could this be exercise-induced anaphylaxis? So the next time you hear a patient make a joke about being allergic to work, are they talking about exercise-induced anaphylaxis? Or are they most likely just making a bad joke? One thing is certain. There have been no instances of exercise-induced anaphylaxis related to finishing your patient care charts. So get back to work, Critmatic listeners. Until next time, keep thinking differently.
That was the line that burned.